Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm Gwendolyn Berry. I'm down in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And with me is Jack Jodell up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and F. Wayne Johnson in Columbus, Ohio. And we're going to talk about what's been going on this weekend, you know, or this week. Although I want to say, as we were speaking before, right off the bat, whoever's listening to the podcast or the show today, please reaching out here to say please. Send your prayers, your good energy, keep your eyes peeled on your social media for how you can help, because Louisiana is seeing another Katrina, and there are 800,000 people already that are flooded and ravaged by this rain that's been hitting Louisiana the hardest right now. It's also hitting parts of Mississippi and the panhandle of Florida, but it's mostly Louisiana, a lot of the Bayou country. People who are just getting back to living on, you know, a firm ground after Katrina, and it's been 11 years. I didn't realize. And it seems like yesterday. And so... If you have the time and the moment, just put a moment aside, take a minute, and send them some good energy and some healing. Because our good friend Cherie Coitlin had her house flooded, but she's safe and she's working good. It out as she always does. But as soon as people in social media start to post. How you can help, where you can send, please look for it. Please help, because
we'll be sure to mention it next week for sure, because this is going to be an ongoing crisis for those poor people.
Well,
hey, you know, Jack and Gwen, I have to think to myself, with, you know, Congress out of session and everything, plus the current electoral environment, how much is the Republicans going to hinder any FEMA money now trying to get down there to help those people? Just for spite.
My God, man, they won't even work together on this Zika virus, and it's don't they realize what they're doing to the future generations?
They don't care with their insane desire to just punish Obama for being a black president and don't want to cooperate in the least with him or anything he wants. That is so insane. It's overriding any common sense that they may have had at one point. These people are absolutely out of their mind.
And Jack, I would include a successful black president.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Look what it has brought them. Look what it has brought them. And there's a few.
Trump is it.
This is a wrenching device. And polarizing time in America. Well, we have a major party nominee who's out there sowing hatred, innuendoing assassination of his opponent, and violence.
Exactly.
And we succumb to it. We got to be the good people. We've got to be the ones who keep the social fabric from unraveling here, because, you know, pointing out all the bad stuff is the right thing to do, of course, but also reminding people that we can make a positive difference. And I think we do that. I think we, the nation as a whole.
The biggest thing we can do, the best thing we can do for the entire country and indirectly for the world, is to get rid of these Tea Party guys that are glutting up Congress. All their obstructionist tactics are doing absolutely nothing for anything except satisfying their egos. Those people they're way wacko, and they've got to be replaced. And it's going to be tough, because the Koch brothers have made it with all the gerrymandering efforts and voter disenfranchisement. efforts and all this crap that they're doing now, it's going to be an uphill struggle, but it can be done. We've got to start right now, this election, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. We got to clear these guys out.
Jack, it isn't just these Tea Party idiots. You know, it's a lot of wrong-minded people, and there's a few Democrats who call themselves progressives in that mix. And, you know, you're right, the primary pudding here, the pudding on the stove right now, is the Republican Party, and they've made this bed. Let them lie in it.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is there are so many people out there who are willing to support it. It's unreal. I mean, whose press credentials is Trump going to pull today? You know what I'm saying?
Because it's all the press's fault that he is so far behind from his idiotic statements, and they're just taking his idiotic statements out of context. Bull crap.
The nice thing is that finally, just finally, at long last, some of the news outlets are starting to kind of call him on the carpet a little bit in their own way on their chyrons at the bottom of the screen. They'll make his whatever crazy statement he makes, they'll say it's not true.
I watched Chris Hayes laugh out loud at a Trump ad this week. I'm watching Hayes and Maddow, and it's sort of pour into Lawrence O'Donnell, too. I'm sort of – actually, I'm MSNBCing because – well, there's nothing on. I got to tell you, because I would look elsewhere, and I it's an excuse, I suppose. But I'm interested to see what the polling is pretty much almost every day now. And see which way things are wagging, whether they're
16 out of 16 polls have Hillary in the lead.
By double digits. High single digits or double.
Yep.
But this is the buffoon character. I got to tell you, I read a really great, you know, poster on the Hillary Clinton Facebook page that said, "Friends don't let friends vote for Trump."
Right.
I saw that.
One of the comments on it was hysterical. I wouldn't use somebody's name for it, you know.
What'd they say?
That's no fair. But they got into a little bit of a divide about Trump not knowing about really what's going on, and they were talking about the Ukraine. And this one fellow posted, and I posted this stuff on my page because I just thought it was pretty funny. He said, "People should not be concerned about the Ukraine. If elected, he will surround himself with foreign policy experts like Ben Carson and Sarah
Putin,
Harry and Curly, you know."
Mainly, Healy Baumgartner will give him some advice, too.
It was just funny as hell, but it's not so much of a joke.
It's pathetic.
Today had people from all over the globe on. He had like six different people asking them, how do people see America right now? And the South African lady, who's, you know, a politician and also a activist, said they love and adore Obama, of course. They celebrated the deal. They're fearful and apprehensive. They're fearful of Trump, but they're also apprehensive of Hillary because of her stance with Israel. They think that and I got to tell you, I don't think Hillary is quite embarrassed with they do, though, support Hillary Clinton's nomination because there's a vast majority of thought for her rather than Trump, anything but Trump. But that's how South African thing. Now, the Brits, on the other hand, will talk about this one fellow who was on, very eloquent. He said that the Brexit exemplifies the nationalism and stark polarities that are being exploited in politics global right now, this nationalism effort. But
right.
he said that the Brexit leader from England attended the GOP conference, and he walked out bizarre. It was like bizarro to him, and it frightened him, the Republican, the RNC convention. It frightened the guy from England who was the nationalist who made Brexit go through. So we're on Britain's, like, are they freaking crazy list? And then
Well, my friend in the Netherlands, I heard from him in the last few days, and he said this Trump guy is out of his mind. He knows the score. He pays attention to our politics more than we do theirs. he was saying that Hillary's plan to work together with everybody is far better than Trump's divisive plans of excluding people. So he knows his stuff. He's on top of it. And, you know, he gave me another fascinating insight. We never hear news from the Netherlands or Belgium or places like that unless there's a mass murder or something really outstandingly weird. But he told me something that I didn't know. They have a lot of natural gas deposits in his section of the Netherlands, the northeastern part of the country. And he said that there have been earthquakes that have damaged his home because of the exploration practices by fracking. Blew me away. I never knew that. It was never reported on the news, of course.
No. And talking about energy, I'll just jump in here real quick. In Germany, they've just built a solar power electric generating facility.
Mm-hmm.
That basically is generating enough power equating to 20 nuclear plants.
Yeah.
That could happen here. Matter of fact, the company I work for just built one very similar to that up in the Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
We designed it, and, of course, you know, subcontracted out to build it, but we did the design on it. And then Indianapolis Airport is all run 100% solar. They've got the battery backups and stuff, right? Help me out, Glenn. I'll send you. There were some others.
It is changing in this country little by little. What we need is government that helps to bring it nationally along. And Clinton has a big, broad plan for green energy and cleaning the environment up. It's a tandem operation. And she does it. She gives the budget for it and where it comes from and everything. And we've really got to make sure that the Senate and the House get to be Democrat again.
It won't happen right away.
Both of them won't happen right away, but we've got to work very hard to make sure that they both turn. We were talking before we went on today, these Tea Party guys are so destructive, and all they do is obstruct. They don't construct anything. They obstruct. Right. They don't construct. They're the most worthless bunch that's ever occupied Congress in the history of this country. They are destructive. They're not good for the country or the world. We've got to get rid of them. And the only way we can do it is we got to vote. We got to get people out there registered so that they vote these idiots out of office once and for all.
And not just this election, but every 2 years, you got to show up. Go ahead.
Yes, every 2 years.
The other thing about the Clinton campaign, they're talking about having initiatives to where it becomes a huge deal for her Oval Office to put out the vote on the 2-year mark. It's not going to
Good.
Be a let them
that's
vote.
That's very important. That's
yeah,
that's got to be point onward. That's got to be part of Democratic strategy, because otherwise, if you sit by and let people just slough off, the Republicans are going to occupy the houses of Congress every 2 years. The off-year elections are going to go to them, and we can't have any more of that. They gave us that terrible Tea Party. They gave us a horrible situation in 2014. We've got to nip that shit in the bud. It's bad.
I am.
You know, really, if you want to vote Republican, people, and you're fiscally conservative, Why the hell do you want to waste your money on Republican guys who will do absolutely nothing in office but draw a paycheck?
That's true, but Rubio seems to be edging out the other corporate Democrat down here while Alan Grayson is not getting enough attention. But I blame Grayson for it because he doesn't seem to have his ship in the right wind. I'll tell you, there's been opportunities, and even Pam Keith has gotten in there. I want to mention something. We're here today. We've been on air for many moons because we all got together as bloggers and contributors to blogs and what have you. And a flag was raised that was really wonderful that we all belong to, Roundtree7.com.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Roundtree7.com will be no more in a couple of days. David's taking it down. We haven't been posting over there. I haven't been paying much attention.
I haven't been over there for quite a while, but that's a shame. That was a great blog site. It had so many good writers.
Very good writers.
Yeah. Very good.
And David wants to say that it was a good run, and he thanks everyone who supported our journey. It doesn't end. It's not ending. I know David has some ideas about other venues, so
As soon as he makes them public, I want to know about it. He's a good man.
I was going to say, it'll morph into something bigger and better, because I know that they're going to move forward.
Get on social media, Jack. You can get all the emails and stuff cut out of it just to come on and talk with folks. You'd really have a ball, I think. But anyway, I know David has other plans for it. I want to thank David Williams for putting it together and bringing us all together, because I think no matter what, we're all going to still be part of a standard. We may not always agree, but we definitely have the same heart.
I can't remember one time I've ever disagreed with David Williams.
You know what? I think David's disagreed with me on voting for Hillary and working for That brings up a really wonderful announcement. This Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, CNN is providing the Green candidate with a town hall. So Jill Stein is going to be on CNN in a town hall on Wednesday evening.
Yeah, I saw an earlier one that she was part of. I saw it on Free Speech not too long ago.
The term spoiler that's applied to Nader and the Gore campaign.
Well, that doesn't apply this time.
No, and it's not fair to ever apply it, because you know what? Candidates have every right to run and to win, including Trump.
Oh, sure. You know what? What I find curious, Jill Stein is trailing that Gary Johnson guy. I just can't believe that.
Yeah, there's a lot of popularity for Johnson. I think he's got like 6%.
He's got like about 8 or 9% right now.
Yeah, maybe 8 or 9. Yeah, that's what it was.
And she's got like 3 or 4, and I'm just kind of blown away by that.
Well, that's because the ones who just can't bring themselves to vote for Trump are supporting him.
Oh, right.
So, I mean,
but, you know, as a classic libertarian,
I
have odds with any libertarian.
The Green Party is not very hooked in. Their organizational capacity.
Not in this country.
It's not as disciplined and structurally sound for, you know, ongoing. It's like every 4 years or in local campaigns, they have it together, but the local branches aren't connected up with the state or the national.
Well, they've got to unify, and they've got to build a network, which they don't have quite yet. You know, and I noticed she's I can't remember the exact figure, but she's on only 22 or at the most 33 state ballots. That is not a winning preposition, man. That's
not
a good
you're not going to get
situation.
Elected with that.
No.
Well, frankly, she hasn't neither one of the Libertarian or the Green Party member, neither one of them has the ability to pull in the candidates or pull in.
Well, that's the only reason that it's important to be part of a network of a political party, because you have so much.
So many
good resources at your disposal, and you may have differences with certain people in the party, but it's an invaluable network. It really is.
Yeah. Well, Bernie,
Jack, you know,
Bernie thought so, and he took advantage of it, as was his right. He did a good job. His messages
were
needed. They're so valued. I will say this. You know, they should fight for what they want. They should go on. I was disappointed with them because I tried like hell to work. I voted for Jill Stein last time because I was so angry at Obama. But the point is, there was nothing I could do. There was no one to network with, and the national group didn't. You know, and I even tried to get them to come on here. I tried this year to get on. And they said they would. She said she would, and then she didn't. And I know people who were working in it that were just completely all over the place. So, but they have to keep working on it because the Green Party is a good idea. However, if you're going to run a candidate and claim they have experience for the White House, like they're trying to do with Jill Stein right now, I've heard some really lame-ass arguments. In my opinion, I've run into some pretty lame excuses. Tom Hartman the other day took a call from somebody who said they were going to vote for Jill Stein because they couldn't, because Bernie was gone, they couldn't stomach Hillary, and they certainly didn't want to see Trump win, and yada yada. So.
Mm-hmm.
Tom,
yeah, he calls her a vanity candidate.
Yeah, Tom went to town on her, and a lot of people have taken issue with that clip of Hartman this week with that woman, and it's telling her basically the truth. Jill Stein has experience as an activist and a doctor. And working within all of these environmental capacities, she has a lot of gravitas there. As far as being a politician and a leader that needs to work within the Democratic Republic
institution,
this country is, she doesn't have any. Why the hell doesn't she run for Congress? I think she should in the state of Massachusetts. Run for Congress.
You know,
that was a good point he made.
And, you know, I learned something. I got to correct myself from last week. I said she wasn't a medical doctor. She is a medical doctor. I learned that this past week.
Yes.
So I was in error last week, and I want to make that plain. So, yeah, I don't know what her specialty is, but regardless, she's a professional person. She's well-educated. And she's articulate, and she has a lot of good attributes, but
she
should run for Congress first and build herself a national name.
Well, and she often isn't speaking from what I feel is a genuine point of view. I think she's running off scripts that are provided by, you know, the conference table of what to say to hit hard against the other candidates that are running right now, because she sounds like a mouthpiece for Trump one moment, and then a mouthpiece for the Libertarians next, and then a mouthpiece for herself against Hillary as a woman or the first woman who ran for president. And that's not true. She is not the first woman to run for president. And they keep saying that because it's to them.
Shirley Chisholm.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, there's someone in Ohio here. There was a lady in Ohio here back in 1890 something that ran. They got a big billboard, of course.
For president?
Republicans here in Ohio made a big deal of that too. So.
Wow.
Ma somebody or something, but yeah, no, it's quite true. But CNN is giving Jill Stein a town hall on Wednesday, And good luck with that. And I'll be tuning in to see what's going down.
Who's moderating that? I'm curious.
Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you the truth.
I don't think it'll be Anderson Cooper, but.
I don't think it's Stacey. I'm not sure who it is. Probably a woman.
Yeah, it could be. What's her name? I forget her name now. I see her face all the time.
Megan Fox. Was it
no,
Megan? No, not Megan Fox. Jeez,
the other
sorry,
one that
Fox.
Was. She.
The one
was,
that Trump beat up.
Oh, that was Megan Kelly. That's Fox.
Kelly,
that's
there
not
you
CNN.
Go. Yeah,
Megan
Kelly
CNN.
On Fox. That was close.
Fox. Listen.
That one
now,
lady from Michigan. I forget her name now, but.
Governor Granholm.
No, not her, but there's a CNN woman who's been there for years and is from Michigan. I know that. I forget her name, though.
Since Candy Crowley left, I don't pay too
no,
much
not,
attention.
No, not Candy Crowley. No, not her. No, not her.
I know. She's been off the air for about 6 years.
I saw her on there not too long ago, the one I'm talking about. I can't remember her name, though.
I think I know who you're talking about. The name just fall right off my mouth, but I can't remember her name. But she's there. She's one of the elder speakers. But she's not Cokie Roberts. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That would be NBC anyway. Yeah.
I basically remember those. But this one I don't. You know, today I think Fareed Zakarias puts a very good show together, and I like the way he writes. But today when he was talking to all these international people, he also spoke with a Russian politician who, you know, they're fully endorsing Trump. They have shrinking economy due to the sanctions that were instigated by Obama, by NATO, and so they're very upset about that. Well, you know.
Yeah. Don't
well, there's cause
country,
and there's effect, though, too.
Well, they get to be after a while. It's funny to me, in Israel, the support for Trump is greater than the support for Hillary. They're kind of... But that kind of
maybe in the Likud party.
Gee, I mean, you know, that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And then today, talking further, he went on to encapsulate what was going on with what happened in Turkey with the Turkish rebellion that they just said.
The military junta.
The Erdogan ousting, which did not happen, and now Erdogan is pushing a tyranny over the country. He's doing a big purge, and his best new friend is Putin, which is not a very good sign for the incoming president at all, unless it's Trump.
We'll be glad to give him to him.
You know, when Zakarias had this guy on today, he asked him about the idea that Putin is wily enough as a KGB man, and certainly I can tell you there are dogs on my block that seem to be more intelligent than Donald Trump. But
but then that's not bragging rights for the dogs either.
Putin is very, very wily, and that's why he's maneuvering in Turkey and everywhere he can.
I do think he's capable of actually puppet mastering Trump by saying something and there. He doesn't want to go too far because I don't think Putin actually wants Trump in office because he knows what a catastrophe that could be. Because he is smart. Any smart politician global right now is praying to God that Hillary gets the office. That's pretty plain.
I was going to say, let me interject this here. Even on Fox News, their business analysis, Ben Stein, you can win his money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Came out
former
this week
Nixon
and
guy.
Said, what he said, came out this week and said, what Trump is proposing would devastate the economy of this country drastically.
Yeah.
This is Fox News, and Ben Stein, who's, you know, noted conservative,
mm-hmm.
even extremist in my time, says what he is proposing will bring down the economy in this country.
Oh, yeah. And it's very true.
There's a Daily Dot post of the Republicans who have, in the government, who have disavowed and tried very hard to cast their lines off of the Trump ship. Then there's the letter that came out the first of the week by 50 notable Republicans of past service and current service.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who are saying this is a catastrophe. You can't vote for this guy.
I understand.
So,
Talking Points memo is keeping a full log of all the different stories and lies and fabrications Trump has come up with.
All he has to
do
is open his mouth. That's all he has to do, and it's gone. It's gone. They think that this guy is, they can't, the more that the news says that the RNC is handling him, the worse he gets. He's a child. I've begun to subscribe to the idea that perhaps he has mental challenges right now. It would be a health
issue.
Well,
that's what Joe Scarborough thinks. I can't disagree.
Joe Scarborough, I like drop my coffee. I'm sitting there, you know, because usually I tweet with Morning Joe. You know, I send and my handle on Twitter is Daughters of Isis, so he was like curious, you know, like, oh my God. But then he went to my page to realize who I was, and he says, you're a liberal, la la la. And he was like explicit. He knows who I am, so when I send him tweets, I think he notices that, what I'm trying to say. But I was tweeting on that morning when he came out and said that Donald Trump was mentally unable to fulfill the office, that the assassination, you know, the Second Amendment remedy comment was just way too much, way too much.
It's one of the few times I agree with Joel Scarborough.
He's been on every morning. He has been, what's he done now? You know, and the whole table is with him, you know, except for Connie George, you know, the whole, but his table, so they pretty much are going to be, but outside of it, they're still with him. And it's starting to look like MSNBC is becoming a blue channel, really. And I don't buy that completely at all. I'm just saying that, you know, it's looking that way during this election. And and I'll tell you what, the pain and regret and fear in Joe Scarborough about the future of the Republican Party right now is apparent.
Oh, he was crapping his pants when Obama creamed Mitt Romney a few years back, you know.
Yeah.
he's a diehard all the way.
You know, I don't want to keep beating this horse, but it's like what I told Jack Kemp back in 2005. Keep embracing this Rush Limbaugh and all these other, you know, the Me Too
wackles.
Kind of right-wing, right what? And you're welcoming in the worst of the worst. You're going to regret it.
Yeah, good foresight there, Wayne. It's very true. They have destroyed that party.
So between the British and the Russians, the South Africans, the Israelis, there's the overall view is this: has America lost its balance? You know, there are countries that really are wondering if America is in trouble. It's like the flag is flying upside down over this election because of the irresponsibility and the nastiness, and it's really scaring other countries, the shit.
Well, yeah. and they comment too on the our government is so, it can't do a damn thing anymore. It's so polarized.
Right.
It's no wonder it's funny the ship hasn't sunk. It's definitely keeling over. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, and if she gets, and when Hillary gets elected, I'll just make that projection right now, you're going to still see a full-blown, ramped up, nihilistic, propaganda, right-wing crap that's going to keep hammering and hammering her, trying to, again, make her the one-term president, and
that's
two,
right.
make sure that whatever she doesn't get. That's why you've got to vote downstream.
Let's think about this, gentlemen. It's already kind of in the wind that a lot of down-ticket Republicans are going to lose their seats.
Thank God.
Because of Trump. It's already in the
Right. We just got to make sure as many as possible do so that we can wrest control from these guys. You know, this tactic of trying to make a Democratic president a one-termer and get in the way of his getting anything done has been going on since the Republican Revolution, sponsored by Newt Gingrich in 1994.
Yep.
That's a long time, you know.
Right.
And it's a bad strategy. It's an small d Democratic strategy. It's anti-democracy. They've got to work with people. They can't just dig in their heels and say to hell with you. That's no way to run a country. And the rest of the countries of the world are starting to notice this.
Well, all the other countries in the world really look to us for the stability. They have most of their money invested in our stock markets or our financial system because the strongest currency right now is the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go messing with that and through this instability, they're also losing personal wealth.
Plus, it's a fiat currency, which is really kind of scary when you think about it.
Yeah.
Just our beliefs in the strength of the dollar. There's absolutely nothing really backing it up, you know. There's no gold to back it up.
Nope.
It's just a belief.
Here's the deal. Well, belief is what builds, you know, belief.
Well, of course, that's what keeps it in place. Mm-hmm. But once people start to not believe in it, there's going to be all hell breaking loose. I guarantee you that right now.
That's what a lot of these journalists are finally turning to and saying, hey, wait a minute here. You're starting to erode this bullshit about the cheating. Oh, she wins. She cheated. It's a rigged system thing.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit.
No, it's like, good Lord, Bernie. You know, good Lord. And then
Bernie didn't see she cheated.
No, I was going to say that. No, that was all, well, he's talking about the rigged system.
He did.
Oh, the system is rigged. Elizabeth Warren tells us that, and we know that's a fact.
Right.
The rigged system. I go and I vote, and it don't matter. It's going to go whatever way the big money wants it to go.
You're talking about voting. I was talking about economic climate and all that stuff, too. Wall Street and the whole works. But.
Just real quick, let me interject this. This has been going on for a long time because go ahead, Gwen.
No, I'm saying that maniac is talking about our voting, our ability to vote.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All right. Samuel Clemens, one of his famous quotes of his day was, he says, if voting really made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it. And that's so what I'm saying is what we're talking about here has, you know, was noted 100-plus years ago by Samuel Clemens. And
you have great periods in our history, and probably in every country, but great periods in our history happen very rarely. One of the last big ones was the Great Depression. It ushered in all kinds of new reforms and very beautiful things that are still in existence today, even though they've been under batterment by the Republicans for a long time. The second big one was LBJ's Great Society, which got fairly well dismantled by Nixon, but it's still got vestiges of
Medicaid,
still
Medicare
still
was all part of it.
In certain areas.
Right. Medicaid, Medicare was part of that.
Yeah. Right. And these are good things. These aren't bad things. They're good things. And, it takes every generation, something massive happens, and there's a big upheaval and there's a big change. And I think we're going to see that again. People are tired of government not working and paying these guys all kinds of money to do nothing. Absolutely
right.
Nothing but say no. That's bullshit. So people are tired of that, and there's going to be a big change. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it will happen.
That's true.
Very true. Very true. I agree with you.
And it will lead to good things again. We just got to keep pushing to keep it happening.
Jack, I think because a woman is running for office, first of all, and it's not just any woman. It's a woman who knows what she's doing. And who
has
very more, you know, I'm so tired of hearing all about all the bullshit rhetoric and the Republican lies that so many of the Bernie people.
Well, they've hated the Clintons, male or female, from day one, you know.
Hey, listen, you know what the Clinton Foundation has done? It has almost
many good things.
It has almost eradicated AIDS in South Africa. There's a little thing on this.
Yep.
Called quid pro quo that goes on with banking, governance, and that you give to get. And there are boundaries and rules that are in place by this government, and I think that the Clintons have kept those rules. That's just me. It happens.
And the Republicans are going to make a mountain out of a molehill every time.
That. Right.
They
As a matter
are
fact.
So freaking scared of Hillary Clinton that they can't.
Scared shitless. Yep.
And there's a good reason for it. The woman keeps at it. She doesn't give up. And, of course, this is part of the commercialism of vote for Hillary. But the truth is she absolutely does keep at it. I worked under her, one of her projects from the White House when she was First Lady for women's rights. I have talked to people in communities in the Southeast here who have benefited from the shit she did for women, children, preschool, and the health care that they're getting, and single mothers, and the Planned Parenthood that would get the cast off funding. And, you know, I mean, the woman went to Southern Ireland and said, women, stand up. Don't take this. Stand up. And they did, and it's made all the difference. There are women in Parliament in Ireland because of Hillary Clinton. And,
you
know, it just friggin' pisses me off because it's always this yang of course she's made mistakes.
It's distortions. It's embellishments. It's all bullshit.
But she doesn't let that get to her. What she does focuses on the goal, and she keeps her eye on the goal. And when she, you know, it was a pretty class act that she had when she gave over to Obama.
It really was. It really was. She fought him long and hard, but she finally handed it over, and that was to her credit.
That's what a leader does. But I'm going to tell you something, guys, from my side of the rainbow. When she walked out on stage to accept the nomination, and I say this as a, you know, I grew up a Roman Catholic, and tomorrow is the Immaculate
Assumption.
And it is the ascension of the mother of Yeshua, Jesus. And basically, it's a day about mothers. And when she walked out that stage in white, she was the standard of the goddess, which Mary is, Mary the mother.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why she is the mother of the village. And she is going to make a difference, the kind of difference. I really think she knows she has the opportunity, if done right, to make the kind of difference that FDR did with the WPA and Social Security.
Let us hope. What she's got to do, she's got to bowl over these Republicans, and we've got to help her do that by getting them the hell out of there and getting them to change their tune. This Tea Party nonsense of saying no to everything, and I'm going to obstruct you and I'm going to make you a one-termer, that shit's got to fly right out the window, man.
Jack, let me interject you real quick just to remind people. These teabaggers, in 2 years in a row, removed hundreds of millions of dollars out of the security budgets of our embassy.
Oh, yeah.
So when Benghazi fell, it was all her fault? No. How about the $200 million dollars you removed for the security purposes
Good
of
point,
those
Wayne. Good point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, all their austerity budget nonsense, that shit's got to just go. It's got to be gone. It's insane. It's absolutely contrary to what really does build an economy, not austerity budgets. That never built anything.
Do you know what, gentlemen, do you know what woke me up?
What's that, love?
My sister's laughing at me. What woke me up was, and where I changed my mind from Bernie, was, I was doing a bunch of research on Bernie at the time, and I couldn't see what he was putting into plan as far as economics with everything. I knew everything else about him, but, you know, he was obstinate and blah, blah, blah. But what changed me over to Hillary Clinton was 11 hours, gentlemen.
Yeah, in front of Congress.
Not missing a beat. In front of
she was on top of her game the whole way, and she made them look like fools, which they were.
Yeah, but when it was over, I don't know if you noticed, but she walked over, she shook hands with every one of them and smiled, looked them in the eye. That's a lady. Gentlemen,
she knew she knocked them dead. That's why. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real victory for her to do that.
Well,
you
know, it's called the gracious winner. You know, if I won a tennis match, it's proper for the winner of the tennis match to extend the hand to those who she just defeated.
It's
been a long, long time since I've seen anybody in public service that gracious, except for one person. And I got to tell you, it's Obama. He does do that.
Right. Oh, yeah, he does do it well. Yep.
He's and he really handed her the platter, didn't he? Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and, you know, her tenure as Secretary of State was very good. Any detractors are out there, they're absolutely partisan and are missing the point. Man, she beefed up our image around the world nonstop. I mean, she did a great job in that regard. Yeah, she padded her own boat a little bit in certain areas, but by and large, she did a tremendously popular job, a great job of popularizing the United States again. And you know, rescued it from the horrors of the George Bush administration.
Yeah. Well, now, here's another thing I want to interject here, just for somebody, for people to think about. When Obama is out of office and untethered by the restraints of the office, you're going to see a man that's going to move programs so far forward in this country in a positive, progressive way just from his going around talking and speaking about it.
Yeah,
he's going to
probably be a good fifth-column guy for Hillary.
I was going to say, he is right.
What really kills me is that the Obamas have bought a home in Washington, D.C. They're not leaving.
Oh, yeah, they're going to hang around. Yep.
They're
the guise is that they're going to let the girl finish school there, but, you know, they'll hang around for a while. You bet they will.
Oh, yes. Like I said, he's not done. He is going to keep fighting for his principles and causes continuously.
I think so.
Just like Jimmy Carter.
I think so, and I think that Hillary will welcome his input whenever
he'll be a big help to her.
Absolutely.
You bet he will.
Absolutely. She's going to say.
She's got Barack and she's got Bill. She's got the two Bs. That ain't able. You know what I mean?
No,
that's,
you're right.
Goddamn up there. When you think about it, Bill Clinton did leave the first, surplus in office.
Yeah, it was up into the billions of dollars of surplus.
Right. And within the first year, it all the way to tax cuts.
Right. It was all the way to several billion.
And a war that we couldn't pay for.
And despite that, here's where it's going to get very crazy. I don't think that America will put up, as a whole society, I do not think that America will put up with this crazy shit that Trump's throwing, especially about a woman and about women.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. Good point.
Well, they've already rejected them en masse.
Say,
I mean, people.
That is, that is my wife's perspective.
And the other, well, your wife is a wise lady. The
no, absolutely. She married me.
That's amazing. But the thing is,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, you're right. The guys. The thing is that, I mean, think about it for a second. Here's a woman who's been to over 200 countries in a 4-year period. Well, actually, let's call it what it is. Nearly 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's
yeah.
all these countries. She's made an impression, but she's also built a network.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
she's
yes.
built
Agreed.
A network, and you can't even buy that.
No,
no.
And the country will be much better off after her first term than it is at any particular point prior to that. I mean, she has laid the groundwork for something incredibly good, and it's going to help a great deal.
And we all agree here, if she can get there through the obstinance of the Congress and the Senate, and I think there are a lot of people that are willing to help her, and there are a lot of people. Bernie Sanders was absolutely right when he said people should go and run for office.
Yeah, very
absolutely.
True.
Right.
Listening
Get
to,
on the school board.
Listening to State Senator Lena Taylor today from Wisconsin, from Minneapolis, I was so impressed. I was
She's
in the middle
from Milwaukee.
Oh, I'm sorry, Milwaukee. I was so impressed. I mean, this lady, she's an African-American woman. She was just reelected to her district, and she came on to CNN. They had her in person at first, where she said that the governor promised her there would be no militia, no this, that. Of course, he went back on that.
Sure,
he's a liar.
Yeah, he is. But she was, I was in the middle of doing tasks, and I saw it on the Florida Room television. I was so taken by her talking and saying what was going on and how we had to work together. And I sat down and I listened to her. When you have
mm-hmm.
leaders like people who you will listen to, you know, people listen to Bernie Sanders. They listen
mm-hmm.
to him. People
right,
yeah.
do listen to Hillary, but most of the time it's only people who are interested in listening because she does get wonky. She's not
She doesn't communicate quite as well as her husband does.
She communicates with the detail and depth he does, but he's a storyteller.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But he captivates an audience, and she doesn't do that.
She can with certain people. She captivates the black women. She captivates this broad.
Oh, yeah.
Very
much so.
And she's got women like, I mean, did you guys see the video of Jamie Lee Curtis introducing her at the L.A. fundraiser just for the vote out there?
No,
I missed that one.
Jeez, next time I'm in trouble, I want Jamie Lee in there. You know, I mean, she was spectacular. Of course, she has Meryl Streep. And people listen to people like that.
Oh, yeah.
And these women are fully behind her, and many others, Beyonce, you know, and it matters.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
And all the women, white or black or whatever, creed or race or whatever, that I saw at the Democratic convention, they were quite enthralled with her. I could see that.
Yeah.
Especially
well,
the younger
you know,
girls.
But yet, look, guys, she chose well. She dressed in white.
Oh, yeah.
And she
was
perfect. She walked onto the stage. She was the goddess. That was it.
Yep.
Yes. You're right.
She's what I would call the mother of the village, and I do regularly on Twitter. I hashtagged it. Mother of the village.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she really, that's how she's approaching it this time. She's not trying to be the war hawk, the wonker, nothing like she did
right.
the last time. She was incredibly brilliant then. But she couldn't. Barack, how did he get us all? He lifted us up. He raised our hopes
yes.
and our hearts.
Well, number one, he really saved this country because we were economically devastated. And more
well,
than devastated, too, with torturing people and shit like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne, you got a point, but there's money here. I know. I'm in business.
Yeah, but there are 730 jobs a month being lost for many months when he took office.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He stemmed that tide, and that was, thank God for that.
I was going to say. When you had people like me applying for a full year and all we were hearing were crickets, it wasn't until he got in and started correcting stuff and getting this stopped and
right,
this started
right.
and stuff that I got reemployed.
Exactly.
Especially in my late 50s at the time.
Yep.
And he did that even though he had a Congress that wouldn't act. People are tired
yes.
of him. That's why they're listening to Trump, the ignorant. The hateful.
Oh, the low information idiots don't know what's going on anyway.
These stark polarities, guys, these stark polarities are a lesson to all of us. Where are you going to stand? You're going to be on the side of the road that says, calm down, let's work together, we're stronger together? Or are you going to be on the side that says, let's pick up a brick?
Yeah, and let's start throwing it. Yeah, I know.
There was a perfect
picture
on Facebook.
That's why Trump's going to get beat. He's going to get beat in a landslide.
Right.
It's going to make Mitt Romney look like a winner. That's how bad that he's going to get beat.
Yeah, he's picking himself up for it. You know? The system's rigged and all that, you know.
There was a perfect picture on Facebook of the women's gymnast team.
Mm-hmm.
Who won
yeah.
and took the gold medal competing against the world. And when you look at those young ladies, there was the spectrum of skin tone, Pantones through the whole group. The diversity is what made them strong and united.
Yeah.
And that's what this country is all about right there.
That
photo just spoke
to
me.
It was
a good
representation of the United States, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
It was beautiful.
By the way, before... Jack gives us our usual sign-off here because that's where we're at. I'd like to say kudos to the Olympic fencing teams, both women and men, but for the first time.
Yes, yes.
1904, we medal in fencing. A fencing was
right.
So I'm like, right. so overwhelmed. It's so wonderful. And the dressage and fencing, and the next Summer Olympics, they're going to have my real sport in, which I couldn't do with a hellhole right now, and that's surfing. I can't wait. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of that fencing team, there was a young Muslim lady, young girl, who wore her burqa, or the cover, the scarf. I want to say burqa, the scarf, right, when she fenced. And, again, that spoke volumes to the world saying, what Trump is spewing out here and all this crap, that's not what the rest of the country really feels. Here is our example of our tolerance and our acceptance.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jack,
that's beautiful, beautiful job. Hey, everybody, keep pushing forward. We're faced with a lot of darkness out there. The Trump faction, the obstructionist Republicans, Tea Party group in Congress, that's going to be flushed away. We've got to work hard to do it, but we've got to do it. And the only way we'll do that is by voting, 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 and keeping pushing forward. That's the only
Very
way
well
for
said.
Us to go. So let's keep
we
doing
say it every
it,
week,
folks.
It's really a perfect
one answer. More time. One more time before we go off the air. I want to thank all the contributors and friends and family at Roundtree 7 and
Absolutely.
David Williams, especially. He's a great captain.
What a great man. Great man.
I hope he's got a lot more. He told me I've got more ideas and creativity to play out.
Yeah, we've got to have that voice out there. It is so enlightening and so thoughtful and inspirational in many ways. And, hey, let's not forget our friends down in Louisiana. Those poor people are besieged right now. Sharif Whiteland and all the other people who are adversely affected by this horrible rainstorm. So let's keep them in our prayers and our thoughts. And as soon as we know what we can do for them, we will push for that too.
Very good. Very well.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We've built a good team. We've built a good team here. We're going to keep it together.
That's right, my friend.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week.
You guys too. Be safe out there.